As most of you know, this isn't every day. This is a special day, and it's become even more special as the day goes on. So I want to dedicate this to a lot of people, people who have left us before their time, and before our time, even more so, before we were really ready for that. I remember exactly where I was on this date 50 years ago. I was in college at the time. And it was impossible for us to believe. It stayed impossible. Changed the world. Tremendous grieving, tremendous community making, and another impetus for political action. Thanks for being here. We got lots of fabulous arts coming up. Start off with a dedication.
I dreamed I was the president of these United States. I dreamed I replaced ignorance, stupidity, and hate. I dreamed the perfect union and a perfect law undenied. Most of all, I dreamed I forgot the day John Kennedy died. That I could do the job that others hadn't done. I dreamed that I was uncorrupt and fair to everyone. I dreamed I wasn't gross or base, a criminal on the take. Most of all, I dreamed I forgot the day John Kennedy died. Remember where I was that day? I was upstate in a bar. The team from the university was playing football on TV. Then the screen went dead and the announcer said, "There's been a tragedy. Unconfirmed reports the president's been shot and he may be dead or dying." Talking stopped, someone shouted what? I ran out to the street. People were gathered everywhere saying, "Did you hear what they said on TV?" And then a guy in a Porsche with his radio hit his horn and told us the news. He says the president's dead. He was shot twice in the head in Dallas, and they don't know by whom. I dreamed I was the president of these United States. I dreamed that I was young and smart, and it was not a waste. I dreamed that there was a point to life and to the human race. I dreamed that I could somehow comprehend that someone shot him in the face. Oh, the day. John Kennedy died.
Well, that's obviously a dedication to... John F. Kennedy. It's also a dedication to Lou Reed, who sang that song. And I've got some other people I'll be playing music for, and we're missing already. But right now, what I want you folks to do is not miss all the fabulous things that are coming up. And right now, I have in the studio three... I don't know if they're all would all be considered veteran actors. Two of them for sure are, especially in the coaster. One of them is actually a virgin coaster actor, I do believe.
And that's true.
And see, there you go. How does it feel to be a virgin again? Bree Bish Heavenrich is here with us, and so are the two experienced old-timers at the coaster, Sue Myers. Hi, Sue.
Thanks for not calling me old.
No. Hey, you're younger than I am. How could I call you old? And Richard Bowman. Bowman. Okay, mm-hmm. Whom I just saw on the stage at the PAC singing Broadway, which was great fun. And now all three of them will be singing in, well, they are singing, the show opened 2 weeks ago, Irving Berlin's White Christmas. And it's running tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30. It goes all the way through, when does it run?
December 29th.
December 29th. Mm-hmm. So you do have time to see it, but you know how things go around here. There's so much happening that you think, well, of course I'm not going to miss that. And then you let it go, and then suddenly, boom. So this is one they got started nice and early, hopefully and clearly not bringing a White Christmas to our area. Thank you very much, because that would have been a real drag. So I'm embarrassed to say I don't. No, is there a story to, or is it just great music for Irving Berlin's White Christmas?
It's a great story. It's a little chaos hosh-posh of romance, mixed personalities, tribute to Irving Berlin. It's a great adaptation from the movie. So people who are familiar with the movie of White Christmas, the show was written based off of that. It's not the same. So you're going to be pleasantly surprised, and you get to hear a lot of Irving Berlin's very popular songs sung in a beautiful way. So
was the movie just created as a movie, or was it on a book or something like that?
I believe the movie is a movie. It's not based off of
a
book.
And then years later, or how does that work? I've never been quite sure.
I think it first came about in 2004.
Oh, really?
And then
The play?
The musical. I believe it was 2004.
Okay. So that's fairly recent, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Have any of you seen it done somewhere else?
I've never seen it, but I know other theaters have done it around in Oregon.
But lots of people have seen the movie. I mean, Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, Rosemary Clooney,
Vera Ellen.
I'm sure I saw it sometime in my history. Have you seen it?
I didn't watch it until I heard about the show being put on, so shamefully. And
there's
people
either,
in my family that it's their favorite, so I don't know how I got away with that. But
yeah, but I won't go into detail, but we have an age range in this room. Let's just put it that way. So, and Bree, you're at the bottom, I guess. Really? Richard's not far behind either. But who's doing what, and how does it work together? Do you all have what, solos? Are there ensemble pieces as well?
All of the above. Bree and I are sisters.
Oh,
so
sweet.
We're
can't
doing
you
the
tell?
Iconic sisters number that if everyone's seen the movie, they'll be hopefully pleased that we're actually, our costumes are just like the movie with the blue fans and
everything. Let's pretend people haven't seen the movie, so talk from that, because I don't remember the movie, even though I probably did see it. So,
well, the four main characters, there's Bob and Phil, and they were in the war together, and so then they've gone on to become big stars. Mm. In is it on stage or Broadway?
Stage
or
and screen.
Stage and screen mm-hmm, stars, mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. you know, it starts out with them. They're given a show, and then they're introduced to the sisters, and then there's a couple of love romances that go on. So Richard and I are love interest in the show, and then Bree and
the other guy.
The other guy who's not here.
My partner, Darren, who could not be here. Mm-hmm. He's taking care of some family matters in Portland, but he and Bree are the toe-tapping dancing couple, and Sue and I are the crooners. So.
Oh, my goodness.
That's basically it. Yeah, so there's tap dancing and ballroom dancing and all kinds
goodness.
Of singing.
Samba.
Now, are there just the four people in the whole cast?
No. Oh. We have 16 people.
16?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What, do the other guys just stand around? And
No. There's some very talented people. Ann Bronson, who you probably know, has got a fabulous part.
That's why I was not giving anything away. People that have seen the movie will know the housekeeper. And they'll go, oh, okay, the musical does a brilliant job introducing Martha as a character.
Great.
And then another veteran we have is Amanda Payne, who is the general's granddaughter. And in the musical, her role is also beefed up quite a bit. So.
Okay.
She has a great tap number.
Yeah, literally steals the show.
Literally, is she supposed to, or is it just because she does?
Yes.
I think it's the direction we went with it.
And the director is?
Patrick Lathrop,
who has been on this show many times. Patrick is actually the executive director at the Coaster, but he just wears so many hats. He's so talented and even runs the box office. That's how he got here. We're so delighted to have him at the helm now. So since I said you two are veterans, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself in the realm of theater?
It's funny. I had an interview this afternoon with someone that asked me the same question, and it all started with, I lost a bet.
Wait a minute. That could be the name of a play, it could be.
I was in high school. I always did the lights. I never wanted to be on stage. I was doing sound and lights. And my best friend, we were auditioning for the same solo in choir. And he said, if you get the solo, you have to audition for the musical. And I said, I'm not going to get the solo. He goes, bet. Let's bet on it. So we bet on it, and I ended up getting the solo. So I auditioned for South Pacific, and I got Joe Cable. And ever since I got on stage, it was, this is addicting, I want to do. Yes. So I studied at the Academy of Performing Arts in Salt Lake City for 3 years.
Boy, it did change your life, didn't it? How wonderful.
Now I don't even know how to run a light board. I'm just like, what does this do?
You know, isn't that funny? Because I'm thinking at the high school, I think they make everybody learn everything specifically for that reason. You never know when you might be called upon, but that's wonderful. And you've been at the Coaster how long?
This will be my 21st show.
Okay.
And my very first show was back in 2000. I did Christmas Carol. I played young Ebenezer Scrooge. Mm-hmm. And then 10 years later, I played young Ebenezer Scrooge again. So if you're a young male actor, please come down to the Coaster Theater.
Relieve Richard.
We need you.
That's great. How about you, Sue?
I think this is my sixth Christmas show in a row at the Coaster. I love doing musicals, and I've been singing since, middle school. Mm-hmm. I was in the choir, I really haven't had any formal training other than a few voice lessons. But I've done community theater a long time and been for a long time before I came here. So.
And how long have you been here?
7 years?
Is it only?
Somehow I feel like
yeah. Your name comes up all the time, so I was thinking. And Bree, how did how did this happen?
Well, as you know, I did Hitchin earlier this year at the PAC.
Was that your first public show?
Since childhood, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That wasn't too long ago, Bree.
Yeah.
Although and have two adorable little ones who are your children.
And they're, I'd say, my inspiration. My daughter is very theatrical, and I want to show her that, even if it's someone who's newer to the profession, that, I'm very glad that I've done this and I've had a ball doing it. And
So it's fun going out on your own, because Hitchin was kind of almost a family affair.
Right, right.
And this time you walked out into a whole group of strangers.
Yes, and it was very intimidating. They're a tight-knit group, and they're very talented, but they've been very welcoming and very supportive, and I've already learned a lot, so I hope that it's not my last show.
All right, all right. And that says a lot for you two and the whole family at the Coaster.
Because, I hope so. We don't want people to think we're cliquish. We don't think we are. We want people to come out and audition, and it's always nice to see fresh new faces. You never know who's going to show
absolutely.
Up, and we're so glad that she did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's
Thank
great.
You.
That's great because, the Coaster does have a fabulous array of actors, but it's true. It's nice to have new people come up and freshen things up a little bit and come up with new perspectives. So, 16 people all together, Irving Berlin's White Christmas. Do you know who did the stage play and all that kind of stuff? Because I have no idea.
Yeah,
again, that's
know.
What I meant. Like, he made the songs.
We need a smartphone. Get your iPhone out, Richard.
I think his name is Les or something. Les.
Oh, yeah.
Or something.
Yeah,
well, what I'm wondering is, okay, so you got Irving Berlin's music, which everybody knows because it's all over all the time, and it's very, very rich. It's the fabric of the American songbook, actually, really is. Somebody took it and made it into a movie first, or did he have something to do with the movie?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Okay, that's your homework for next
year. That's a password question.
Okay, yes, it is probably. Yeah, that's true because I really don't know these things.
Yeah.
And so
I know they made the movie first, and then I think when they decided to do the musical, obviously they had to put more music in. Mm-hmm.
So they just took some of his songs
and incorporated it into the story.
So this is an opportunity, and even if you don't know that you love Irving Berlin music, you'll find out. And what an opportunity to see it live right here at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. The phone number there is 503-436-1242 is the box office. You can call them right now, get yourself some tickets, either for this weekend, Friday and Saturday, 7:30 is starting time, or next weekend and onward. There are 3 Sunday matinees as well, and the website, I should have written that down.
Coastertheater.com.
Spelled R-E.
Theater.
Yes.
When you see live performance, it's R-E, and when you see it on a movie screen, it's E-R.
Thank you.
It's a good way to remember it.
Unless you're in Astoria, in which case you do it the American way, which is E-R, versus the French way, which is R-E. So, excellent. Richard Bowman, Sue Myers, and Bree Bish, my guests here on Arts Live and Local from the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach with I'm so delighted you're doing this because this doesn't, obviously, I didn't realize it was so new, but the fact that you're bringing us Irving Berlin's music for Christmas. That's very cool. So thanks, and break your legs.
Thank you, Carol.
And enjoy. Okay, folks, 436-1242 with a 503 in front will get you a ticket. That is that and your credit card. Just making sure you know. No, I don't have anything to give away today. Those days are done for now. This is Arts Live and Local here at Coast Community Radio. A song, I want to send this one out, a couple of songs actually, to my good friend Tia, and this goes out to Bob Pyle, and to all of the family, and with our wishes of peace and love.
Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. But no one knows for certain, and so it's all the same to me. I think I'll just let the mystery be. Some say once gone, you're gone forever, and some say you're gonna come back. Some say you rest in the arms of the Savior if in sinful ways you lack. Some say that they're coming back in a garden bunch of carrots. the mystery be. Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. But no one knows for certain, and so it's all the same to me. I think I'll just let the mystery be.
That's all we can do at this point. And be thankful for all of the incredible people who are with us, and for those who left early. Well, I have someone who leaves all the time, and then fortunately she comes back. And so my guest is Betty Lou Krause. And I'm just going to grab this Peninsula Arts Association 6th Studio Tour is happening not this weekend, but next weekend, November 29th and 30th. That's Friday and Saturday. These people are very clever. Having an event happen on the Friday. You know, at first I went, Friday, why? But it's the Friday of Thanksgiving. So if you've got guests coming to visit you, or you're off school or whatever it is and you want to do it yourself, of course. But also, if you have guests, this is a fabulous way to be introduced to many of the artists on the peninsula. So, Betty Lou, why did I say that you come and go all the time? What do you do?
Oh, well, I'm a mariner and a naturalist. I work aboard Lindblad Expedition National Geographic ships for part of the year up in Alaska and down in Baja following whales and hiking with bears.
I know,
and
it's a tough life, yeah. But somebody's got to do it. And fortunately, you have the credentials and are able to. So I never know exactly when Betty Lou's going to be here, but she, in addition to all of that good stuff, she's also a very fine artist. And actually, you created a gallery on Bay Avenue, didn't you?
I did. In 2010, I started Bay Avenue Gallery with a group of local artists up in Ocean Park. Mm-hmm. And now Sue Raymond has taken that on, and it is filled to the brim with wonderful art, and they'll be part of the tour as well.
Okay, so let's get to it. Again, this is next weekend, not this weekend. 21 artists, is that right?
That's right.
On the Long Beach Peninsula, right across from Astoria, if you're Oregon-centric. And if you're Washington-centric, you know where it is. It's right at the end of the line, right on the Pacific Ocean. So, what is going on here? How do people access this? I'm looking at some of the names are very familiar and some of them are much less so. First, tell us, what kinds of art are people?
Well, we have a tremendous variety of art amongst the 21 artists. We've got way up in the north, Don Perry, he participates every year with his wonderful metal art, these plasma cut salmon and all sorts of pieces that can go inside and outside art. And up there in the north as well, Jan Richardson, a lot of people know her wonderful work. She's had a pottery firm many, many years and does work over here too, and always inspiring everything from houses to now these really amazing kind of oriental flavored vases and garden pieces too.
And so that's ceramic. So we've got metalwork and ceramic.
And ceramic. I'm a painter, and I'm kind of next on the list there. But I'll have cards and have my work also on tiles, trivets, ornaments, you know, some things that could be gifts or holiday decoration things. Carol Couch, also in Ocean Park, and is a watercolor artist, mostly does originals. And then in Ocean Park, all of Bay Avenue is kind of clustered with artists there. We've got Bay Avenue Gallery, which we mentioned. So that'll be Sue and Cynthia and Diane Schroeder. So just a tremendous variety. And some of the artists will be there doing demonstrations.
Oh, nice.
So that can be really
so
fun.
So would that
to
be
see.
Sort of on and off all day? Is that the idea?
It's 10 to 4.
10 to 4, both days.
Both days. That's
okay.
Right.
And the demos, they'll just be there? And
they'll just be there. Come in and just engage the artists and hang out and ask questions. And
that's what's so lovely about this studio tour idea. The artists are there specifically to visit with the folks who come by. So it's really a lot of fun. Okay, so that's Bay Avenue Gallery.
Bay Avenue Gallery. And if we move a little further across.
Also on Bay Avenue, huh?
On Bay Avenue, we've got Beach Home Old and New. That's a fairly new shop with Bonnie Lou Cosby. She's the head of our Peninsula Arts Association and is a wonderful photographer, both she and Charlie. And Michelle Nequaya will be there. Maybe you've seen Michelle's scratchboard. It's really
tell us what scratchboard
and
means.
Exciting. Well, scratchboard is a dark surface with usually like clay underneath, and she does these really fine little scratches in there and makes scenes and flowers and then colors them afterwards. And everywhere from really small size to quite large, and she's just an incredible artist. I hope you get up there to see her. And she'll be doing demos of scratchboard. So if you want to know more, come and see Michelle.
Right. Okay. And then, of course,
Andrea Weir.
Okay.
Yeah, she's been around here a long time, too. Everything from big stained glass windows to glass jewelry. She does a lot of beautiful fused glass work. She also does painting on glass. So she's got a nice studio at her home. And then, of course,
Eric.
Our wonderful Eric Weigart. Aren't we lucky to have Eric in Ocean Park?
And his place is packed. And this is all of these. This is amazing. Bay Avenue. I didn't think Bay Avenue was even that long.
I know.
That's terrific. Okay. And folks, if you're saying Bay Avenue, what is it? Betty Lou started way up at the top. So I said it's right across from Astoria. And we're going to end there because we end in Chinook. But Surfside is where we started. So can people just go up either side? Is that the idea?
Well, yeah, that's what's so wonderful about the peninsula. There's two main roads.
Right.
So you can take one north and one south and catch everything on your way up.
Yeah, I just realized I'm holding the map in my hand, but I wasn't looking at it. This is very, very handy. And I gather you can pick these up at any of the artists?
You can pick this up at any of the artists or at the visitor's center.
Oh, okay.
You can go to beachartist.org, and there'll be a full-size one in the paper.
Easy. Yeah, it would be helpful to have one of these, even though everything is pretty obvious. It's good to have a map, so says she who has no sense of direction. Okay, and then you've got Martha Lee on Pacific Way with
Martha
oil
Lee
paintings.
Is a wonderful painter, and you will love to see her studio. She's got a great place on the ocean.
All right. Oh, nice.
She's also an author, and I think this is Martha's first year in the tour. She has art at Bay Avenue Gallery as well, but so stop by and see Martha.
And then you go down to Long Beach.
And then we go to Long Beach. with Jim Unwin called The Hobbit Shop, and that's to describe his very hobbity studio. So that's right off the main highway and well worth a stop. He's a wood carver.
Does it mean it's a small place or it's an igloo shape or what does that mean? I don't know.
I think it means it has more to do with the decor. Maybe you're going to feel like you're in a hobbit house.
Okay, this should be fun. Now, that's part of it. A lot of these people, it's their own studios, private
studios.
Yeah,
these are home studios that are only open these 2 days out of the year.
They have to do quite the cleanup, too.
Uh-huh.
I don't envy that. Oh, I see. Yvonne Zimmerman, Elizabeth.
Yeah, you might know Elizabeth's work.
She shows here at the Tempo Gallery, I think.
Yes.
And you do, too, don't you?
Yes,
now?
I am.
You're new at the Tempo Gallery, right?
This was my first month at the Tempo Gallery.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I love the idea that the Washington and Oregon, because we have so much more in common here than either of us have with other parts of our own states, because we're right on the Columbia River together and right on the coast together. So it's nice when we join forces artistically, politically, music, certainly, all those good things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then we go down to, this looks like a group place. What's this?
Well, the PAA office, the city of Long Beach, gave us this wonderful little venue to use for our Peninsula Arts office.
Wow.
And so there'll be three artists there. These are artists who don't have home studios.
Right.
So Nancy Myrick, who's a wonderful photographer. Mm-hmm. Oh, and she's got a kids project there for ornaments.
Nice.
And Norm Austin. Now, he's new to me, and from what I can see about him, he works in all sorts of different
media. What does pyrography mean?
I don't know. Sounds like fire.
It does to me, too. Pyromania. Did you say Nancy Myrick? I see it says kids create. Is she going to actually have kids doing stuff there? So if you've got kids, she'd be a good place to go.
You can go away with an ornament.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's definitely a plus right there, number 12. Okay.
And Joyce is there, too, mostly works in pastels, and she'll be working. She'll be demonstrating.
Okay, lovely. And then we have the Campiche Studios.
Campiche Studios, that's a gallery right on the main corner there in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
David Bright recently purchased it from Nancy Campiche. You might know Nancy.
Oh, of course. Right. Yeah, the photographer.
And he's a watercolor artist.
Okay.
Beautiful work. And so there's quite
a nice location, too. It's right there on the corner, easy to find.
Right.
And then we have Terry Branch.
And then we have Terry Branch. He does silver work, and he has this wonderful little shop, M&D Designs and Gifts. So a lot of small pieces of glass and jewelry and all local Northwest artists as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
Great little place for doing a little post-Thanksgiving shopping expedition.
That's true. I have to say that for me, the Friday after Thanksgiving is Buy Nothing Day, but I do support our local artists, and that's a whole different experience. This is so I just wanted to make that disclaimer and proclaimer, or whatever it's called.
Right.
Okay, and then we have Marie Powell, and Penny Treat's going to be there. Is that right?
Penny Treat, yes, with that amazing print shop. And I know last year Penny was doing prints, and I think some people were gifted with them. So anything can happen.
Yeah. Fantastic. That's Port of Ilwaco. And then the last one is in Chinook, which is right across the river here.
Whether it's first or last, if you're going from Astoria,
16.
It's probably the first one. And
right.
If you're on your way back, it could be the last one.
Right.
But don't forget to check out M&D. They have so much wonderful stuff there. Everything from classes and rental ability for making things of your own to artists to artwork and parts and pieces.
So what I'm getting from this is not only do people get to see all the art, buy some of the art, learn, perhaps watch the demo, have kids do stuff, but also everybody from wherever become aware of what's available there and how rich the art scene is there.
Absolutely.
Because you can go up on that peninsula and think, there's nobody here, but whoa, we know better. And folks who listen to this show know better, too, because mm-hmm. we always have artists and musicians coming in. So
right.
So this is the Peninsula Arts Association 6th Studio Tour, and it is Friday and Saturday, November 29th and 30th, from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. And the website again?
The website is Peninsula Artists. Okay. No, beachartist.org. Thank you.
Beach Artist. That's singular, beachartist.org. And that will, that'll get you started on it. Sounds
and
great.
Maps okay. are available at Long Beach Visitors Bureau, Ocean Park Chamber, beachartist.org, the Facebook page at Peninsula Artists, and the November 27th edition of the Chinook Observer.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Betty Lou Krause. Not only is she a naturalist and an explorer and an artist, she's also a singer. So great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Carol. It's always great to see you.
I'm looking forward to that show. I try to get there, but I've only gotten there a couple of times this year. I hope to be there. And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria. I have a song that I want to send out to many of our people. And Dan Polensky wrote this one. I want to send it to Dan as well for his family and to Bob, Jamila, everybody.
Sail away, sail away, sail away home.
The sun's gonna rise this morning, moon's gonna shine tonight. If I could see it one more time, I'd dance in the glorious light. The rain will fall, the snow will blow, sun will bake us dry. It's all part of the circle, no need to wonder why.
Sail away, sail away, sail away home. Sail away, sister, sail away home.
Mothers, fathers, daughters, sons, brothers, sisters too. You take a place for a short time and then we start anew. We view each birth with joy and hope, begins another day. But soon our time is up, and it's time to sail away.
Sail away, sail away, sail away home. Sail away, sister, sail away home. Sail away, sail away, sail away home. Sail away, sister, sail away home.
I put it in a jar for you, the colors and the light, to take along your journey and to help you through the night. And as you sail out one last time, the beauty you will see. Your wings are gonna lift you and finally set you free.
Sail away, sail away, sail away home. Sail away, sister, sail away home. Sail away, sail away, sail away home. Sail away, sister, sail away home. We'll all sail away someday, sail away home.
And that goes out also to our beautiful friend Annie Baldwin, and to Ron and Alex and Heather and all the families and all the friends who care so much and who are so fortunate to, we are so fortunate here to have communities that support each other and lift each other up. And I'll be giving you more information, but I did want to let you know there's a pie and soup over at Jamila and Nancy's at Clipson Beach tomorrow afternoon. Check that out if you'd like to join in. Well, I have Olinka Broadfoot here right now. And how long ago was that that you had that show over at Riverside? Do you remember?
Which show? You mean
the one with the sculpture? The one where I met you.
It's no, I don't remember.
6 months ago or so. It's in the last year
six
for
months.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
6 months.
So Olenka was there with some of her work, which is rather unusual and wonderful. And then she had something that looked very familiar, and that was a large sculpture of a face many of us here know, and that would be Dave Densmore. And that's what we're here to talk about right now. So, Olenka, tell us, where did that come from? Did you even know Dave? Or
no, I didn't know Dave. And I was asked by Kelly Roy, who runs ADX, or she actually started ADX
in
Portland.
What's that?
It's a place where people come and create things.
Ah.
Anyways, she asked me if I had ever gone to the poetry readings, the Fisher Poet thing here in Astoria. And I had never had. I'd never even heard of it. And so she brought me here to see that. I think it was in December?
February.
And I was sitting at some big giant hallway. We were eating something delicious. And
sounds good.
And all of a sudden, this guy walked by the table, and I took one look at his face, and I thought, I gotta do this man, because he looks absolutely perfect. I mean, he just looks like he ought to be in the sea somewhere. I don't know, on the sea. And it turned out that he was Dave Densmore, and he was actually emceeing the place. And of course, I didn't have the guts to actually ask him to sit for me at that point when I found out that he was somebody important. And so I decided, well, okay, so I had a beer and
a little courage there.
A little courage, but that was not enough. And then I asked Kelly if she would go up to him and give him one of my cards and ask him if he'd be interested in sitting.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Which she
did. I never
did.
Heard this. This is great.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
So she did that.
Okay.
And I, of course, my phone number was on the card. And he called me the next day. And he said, when do you want me to come? And so he and his wife or a girlfriend showed up. And I think in a week or so. And the way I start a sculpture is because I don't want the person sitting forever. I photograph them from all kinds of angles, and I get all the stuff started, and I do as much as I can, which isn't a whole lot, and then I have him sit. And so he came and sat once for a fairly long session. It was probably 3-4 hours, and then a second time for about an hour and a half or something like that. And the piece was done.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I'm fast.
Yes, you definitely are.
And I decided to paint the piece blue in honor of the fact that he's a sea captain, fishing boat captain. And they're wonderful people. I really enjoy the whole celebration, the Fisher Poet celebration here in Astoria. And I really enjoyed making a sculpture of him. Before I went to Prague, I asked River Sea Gallery if they would stick it somewhere so that it could be seen here. That's where you saw it.
Okay. So Janine did that.
And
so that wasn't a part of your original show.
He came to the show.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But by that time, I was already in process of making it.
Got it. Okay.
And then on the 30th, I think at 2:00, but don't hold me to this, at River Sea Gallery, I'm going to present Dave with the sculpture.
Oh, wow.
So please come to that.
Oh, my goodness. Now, how big is that sculpture?
It's life size.
It's
as big as a person.
Yeah, or bigger. It feels, it's very, and it's clay?
It's clay, because I can't really afford to, but it can be cast.
Okay, yeah. You also work in brick. Am I remembering correctly?
Yes.
I remember your story was pretty fantastical. So
yeah, well, I've been really, really lucky. I don't think very many artists get a chance to do what I have done, And for some reason, I just kind of fell into this. And I went to a symposium in this brick factory in Prague. And the material defeated me. And so I don't like to be defeated. So I went back again and again until I figured out how to work with it. By that time, the brick factory was no longer holding symposiums, but they decided that my work was pretty cool, I guess, or something. I don't know. Anyway, so they provide me with a studio, a place to work, all the materials I want.
Now, where are you from originally? Are you from Czech Republic?
I'm from
Prague. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I just had a show there.
Oh, nice.
Like right below the place, right above the place where I was born.
Wow.
It's really cool.
Do you still have any family there?
No.
No.
No, my father was killed in a concentration camp, so no.
Right.
No.
That's good of you to be going back there, yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And you live here now in
I live here most Portland. Of the time, but I go back for about 4 months out of the year.
Okay. Yeah. So if people want to get in touch with you, because, folks, I highly recommend you check out Olenka. Not only is her work fantastical and quite varied and beautiful, some beautiful, some just wow. and then there's Dave Densmore's face, you all know. So, but also, if you speak to her for very long, this was just a little tiny clip, you will discover lots of extremely interesting things. So how do people find you, Olenka, and your work?
They can go to, I have a website.
Okay, what is
which
that?
Which is www.olenkabroadfordgallery.com.
Gallery, okay. Yeah. And Olenka is spelled O-L-I-N-K-A. It's phonetic, Olenka.
Yeah.
And Broadfoot is
Broadfoot.
Like
a fat foot.
Yes, right. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And this is November 30th, if things go well, at 2 p.m. Olenka will be presenting this sculpture to Dave Densmore at the Riversea Gallery, which is right on Commercial Street in Astoria. If you need more information on that, you might want to check in with the Riversea on that.
Yes.
And get an update. So that'll be the easiest things. Thanks so much for coming in. It's great to see you again.
Thank you very much.
And I hope to see you then.
Goodbye.
Okay. Bye-bye. And I'm going to let Olenka slip out, and my next and last guest is here. But I want to tell you a few things that are going on before I bring in Jim Lomason, whose name I'm not quite sure how to pronounce. That was close enough. Okay. Today, peace vigils at 5 o'clock. Yes, we still are trying. And then at 5 o'clock, 5 till 7 at Kala Hipfish on, that's 1017 Marine, is an Astoria Forest Evening, which is going to be great fun, local fabulous photography, refreshments, including $1 beers, and conversation and success on the successes in Tillamook and Clatsop County. If it sounds dry to you, it will not be dry. I just told you that. Bob Van Dyke is coming, and it'll be great fun. Now, here's what you can do. You can start out with that, get there 5 o'clock or even 3 minutes to 5, and then at some point slip away and come over and see my next guest, who will be at the Astoria Library, and I'll let him tell you about himself. Tonight we heard about the Coaster Theater, 7:30 tonight, tomorrow night. Rain Magazine, by the way, has a January 10th deadline for their spring edition. The theme is Neighbors and Neighborhoods. And you can get full information by, send your submission to N. Cook, that's Nancy Cook, N. Cook at clatsopcc.edu. Prose, poems, photos, artwork. Find your weirdest neighbor and write about them, something like that. Dinner theater tonight, check please at Tsunami Grill last weekend, Friday and Saturday, 5:30. Begins. It's dinner and all kinds of good things. You do need, or you should probably check in with reservations, 503-368-3778. And then inspecting Carol. Oh, that's me. At the Barn Community Playhouse in Tillamook. That's not me. At 7 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. And that should be great fun. They're a good troupe. I mentioned Jamila and Nancy's is having a benefit tomorrow at Clipson Beach at their restaurant, Jamila's. Should be delicious, always is. The Southwestern in Seaview is featuring Musée Mécanique at 8 o'clock. Astoria High School Student Art Show is at the Barbie Maritime Center from 4 till 7. And also Icons, an art show at Seagrass Gallery, is 4 to 7 in Manzanita. Hoffman is featuring their an encounter with Simone Weil at 7:30. Cannon Beach Community Hall, Return of the Salmon at 6 p.m. Is Grow the Coast, Seaside Convention Center, 8 till 4:30. And Bay City Arts Center, Night at the Casbah at 6 o'clock, Moroccan Night, sounds delish. And singer-songwriters Sean Flynn and the Royal We at the Adrift. Adrift has music almost every night. And Sunday, Broadway Through Time at the River City Playhouse in Ilwaco at 3, Fort George, 8 p.m., Water Tower, Bucket Boys. And by the way, thanks, Jack, for providing me with the Lou Reed song. And now my last guest, who is extremely impressive resume, but instead of reading stuff to you, I'm going to let him talk about himself. How do you feel about that, Jim?
I can talk about myself.
You can
myself.
Talk about yourself. Yeah. Good. Okay. He's a freelance photographer with lots of creds, and what he's doing here tonight sucked me in right away. Life After War, Photography and Oral Histories of Coming Home. When does a war end? Does it ever? Good questions. So, Jim, who are you?
Well, I'm a photographer and a writer, and I try to do meaningful projects. And in 2007, I started a project called Exit Wounds, Life After War, Soldier Stories. And I, like most Americans, didn't know any returning soldiers or current soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan. There's a statistic that says that during World War II, 100% of Americans knew a soldier in combat. During the Vietnam War, basically 100% of Americans knew a soldier in combat. But during the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, it's about 2 or 3% of us who actually know soldiers in combat. And so we don't know the people that we send to war.
Why is that?
I think definitely there's no draft. It's a smaller group. Maybe in Astoria, the percentage is higher because I think the more rural, the higher percentage of vets. But basically, you know, when we went to war in 2003, we were told to go to the mall, and we did.
Right,
and
that's right.
And
that's
so
right. Yep.
I felt that we needed to know the people we send to war. I also, you know, remember being a Vietnam-era person, how poorly we treated the returning soldiers, because we often confuse the war with the warrior. So when we disagree with the war or when the war starts to unravel, we sometimes take it out on the returning soldiers. And I think that's what we did after Vietnam. And then we started learning about PTSD. So I felt that we need to know the people we send to war. And I think what I learned from the Vietnam era, and also from my father's generation, who was a World War II vet, is that the returning soldiers need to tell their stories, and we really need to hear their stories. And that information for us helps us think about the next war. It also allows
lack thereof, hopefully.
And it also allows the individual to kind of transfer their experience to the group. And I think that has a real healing ability. And my father, a World War II vet, he really waited 60 years before he started talking about his real experiences. And so my feeling was 60 years is too long to keep a secret. And it had an effect on my father. And so if we can start to release that information sooner and share it with our families and our community, maybe we can start to heal sooner.
And I don't know whether you would agree with this, but it seems to me just the way you were speaking just now. If it had an effect on your father, then it has to have had an effect on you and all the others who
absolutely
kept those secrets, and whatever poison was inside has to come out in some ways and then affect everyone around them. So,
and my father was a very loving father, a great father, but when I look back now after what I've learned about PTSD and, and the effects of war, I can see some of his personality traits that were pretty mild, but I mean, there were things that, you know, he might avoid coming to one of my Little League games because of a bit of hypervigilance. You know, having a lot of people running around behind you in the bleachers and all that is unsettling to someone who's been at war. And so, you know, if my dad had been able to process that earlier in his life,
he might
maybe
have enjoyed some of the So, what have you done?
I've interviewed. And I use the term soldiers, which the actual term should be service members because it should cover all members of the military. But I've traveled around America and I've found vets and I've interviewed them and I photographed them too. And I've done my best to interview vets of all experiences, all ranks, all branches of the military. And I've really tried to accurately represent the demographic. And so I'm not trying to find vets of any particular opinion. And for my project to have any integrity, it really has to be that way. I was surprised what I found. And one of the questions I had was, before I started, was, do our leaders really know what's going on better than anybody because they know all the inside information, or do the men and women on the ground know more? And what we've learned since the invasion in 2003 is our leaders kind of made some things up and put us into a position and sent men and women into war. And what I've found from the men and women that I've interviewed is the majority of them feel that their experience was not what they expected. And so many of the vets that I've interviewed have come back and they're the most, you know, strong advocates for anti-war movements. And some vets are actually anarchist and ready to now overthrow the American government that they originally went to protect. I also have interviewed vets who are very proud of their experience and will make the arguments for it. But most of them, even the ones that are more pro-military and pro-mission, still question the wisdom of, you know, the intelligence that sent us into those wars. And so what I'm hearing is often something that I would expect to hear from a sophomore in a dorm at Reed College who'd really done nothing in their lives and were just mad at their parents. But I'm hearing it from the real deal, the men and women who have been to war. And they're coming back and saying some things that most Americans, I think, would be surprised to hear.
And what are people going to see tonight?
I'm going to this is an Oregon Humanities Conversation Project. And so what we hope to happen is a conversation, and it's not me giving a lecture. I have a lot of information to share, but hopefully the community, hopefully we'll have some vets, some anti-war people, some just concerned citizens come and hear what soldiers have to say. And so I have pictures that will show
evocative
some of the people that we're talking about. I also have a traveling exhibit that's been to maybe eight venues so far around the country that includes about 2,000 pictures given to me by vets that they took while at war in Iraq and Afghanistan. So that's an amazing kind of cinematic view of war.
So is that going to be projected?
I'll have some of those images, too.
Woo. Now, let me go way back now. Who are you? Because I said you're an award-winning, you've done lots of other work as well. Can you give us a little?
I'm basically a photographer, that is driven by curiosity and a sense of wanting to do meaningful work. And the biggest award that I've received is the Lang Taylor Prize from the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke University, which is an award given to one photographer a year. And so it's a real honor to be associated with Dorothea Lange. And then I've done a couple books, and I live in Portland, Oregon. And most of what I do is work that I think will teach us something. I'm also doing another project right now about Iraqi refugees who have come to the U.S. since 2003.
Have you been doing photography? Did you go to Reed College?
I didn't go to Reed College. I went to Portland State. And I've been interested in photography. I built my first darkroom in a closet in my bedroom when I think I was 8 years old.
Wow.
So,
cool.
You know, so I've been interested in photography all my career.
Right. Have you been able to, were you able to earn your keep with photography?
Yeah. And okay. You know, the good news is I've had a good, you know, photojournalist and commercial career during the best of times in photography. The business model is a little bit broken now, and so I'm glad I had a good career in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, you know, early 2000s. But, you know, so now it's not what it used to be. And so now I can devote more of my time to the projects that really mean more to me.
Wonderful. About how long is your presentation this evening?
It goes, you know, an
two,
hour.
Two, 3 hours, seven. It sounds like it could go on all night.
I just asked if we would bring the sleeping bags.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, mine's in the car. Okay.
It's maybe 90 minutes.
Okay. So this is my guest, Jim Lomason. I'm very happy to have you here, and I'm happy that you're in Astoria at the Astoria Public Library. That's on 10th Street and Exchange, 6 p.m., Life After War, Photography and Oral Histories of Coming Home. And obviously you can see that Jim will be open not only for questions but for your stories as well. Thanks so much for coming in, Jim.
Thanks for
Look forward to seeing you tonight. Okay, and it is time for us to move on. I do want to just mention that David Barsamian will be appearing not this Monday but the following Monday. That's December 2nd at 7 p.m. at Fort George Lovell Showroom. The wrong date went into the Coast Weekend. It will be corrected next weekend. So put that on your calendar right now, Monday the 2nd at 7 p.m.